it strikes me that as we look at the Bible, we tend to remember and focus, and it's natural, on specific stories and parts of the Bible that we might be most familiar with. And sometimes there are stories that get lost, or bits of and pieces of information that we just pass over because we're not used to looking there for information. This morning in class, we were finishing up 2 Timothy. And there's those last few verses of 2 Timothy where it's talking about Alexander the coppersmith and this and that. And those are all important verses. There's lots to be learned from those verses about Paul the man. And sometimes we have a tendency to some verses just to kind of slide over like they didn't mean anything. And stories tend to get forgotten. Like the story I talked about here a while back about Rhoda, the little girl that let Peter in when they weren't expecting him in Acts. And I was also thinking about, as chance would have it this week, being the time of year it is, whatever our individual judgments might be about the holidays. Every time it rolls around, I think about old Ed Hoover getting up and saying, I'll talk about what I want to talk about, when I want to talk about, as long as it's from the Bible. I don't care what the time of year is. I'm not going to talk about Christmas this morning. Don't get worried about that, but I'm going to get close. And so I was thinking about that. So last time I talked about an animal that shouldn't have talked but did, a donkey that shouldn't have talked that did, and today we're going to talk about someone who should have been able to talk but couldn't, just the other way around. We're going to be in Luke today, in Luke the first chapter. And not normally I don't talk out of one place, but today we are. We're out of Luke, the first couple chapters. Story that tends to get lost in the whole story, the bigger story that surrounds and is involved within it. Luke 1, we're going to begin with 5, read through 25, and then we're going to go to 20 to 39 and read the rest of it. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. It came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Jumping to 39. And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded into mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. It came to pass on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Nah, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that's called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loose, and he spake and praised God. Fear came on all they that dwelt around about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. All they that heard them laid them upon their hearts, saying, What manner of child... Speaking of John the Baptist, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. The story gets intermixed with the story of Mary, and Gabriel coming to Mary, of Mary conceiving as a virgin and the birth of Jesus. But there are things to be learned from the story. So I'd like to take the time to go back through it with you for just a little bit. As we look at these two people, these are two very unusual people, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias was a priest. His job was to burn the incense that had to be kept burning all the time inside the temple. He was of the tribe of Aaron, and that was where all the priests had to come from. But his wife was also of the tribe of Aaron, somewhat unusual. She was of the priestly lineage as well. So they were both priests. They have spent years and years and years and years doing their priestly duties over and over and over again, doing the things they were supposed to do. And yet, as we understand Zacharias, as we get a little longer in the story, makes a mistake and doubts Gabriel. And the point is that years and experience don't insulate us from mistakes. Years and experience do not insulate you from mistakes. Just because you've been there and done it 1,000 times doesn't mean you're not going to mess up 1,001. Don't trust your experience and the years that you've got to carry you through. You still have to think, you still have to make judgments, and you still have to make decisions about how you're going to live and what you're going to do. Years and experience do not insulate us from mistakes. These two had been doing this for years and years and years, and God himself says in the scripture, they were righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Blameless. Like Paul has spoken of as being blameless in Philippians. And no doubt as they had served God in their capacities, he is a priest and she is the wife of a priest, over all these years, they had experienced many, many rewards. Many, many rewards. The joys of serving God had been theirs. They were held in very high esteem by those around them. People liked them. They were well liked. They were well known. They were doing good day in and day out. But they had no child. They had no child. Kind of reminds you of Abraham and Sarah, doesn't it? Kind of a similar story a lot of years earlier. Except Zacharias didn't get in any hurry. They did all these things. And they just kept praying, and they kept serving, and they kept hoping, and they kept being barren. Year after year after year. That doesn't seem right. Does it? That doesn't seem fair. There were people having children day in and day out while this was all going on. People who had no concern for God had 18 kids. People who had robbed and killed had families of 5 and 6. People who never showed up to the temple to do what they were supposed to do had children everywhere. And here Elizabeth and Zacharias are sitting there praying and doing their duties and doing good and respected by everybody. That's no child. What? Where is God? This doesn't seem right. This isn't fair. Sometimes as we go through life, it's just not going to be fair. God never told us it'd be fair the way we thought it should be fair. It's going to seem unfair. And his plans are not always our plans. Sometimes his plans are different than our plans. Sometimes his plans are bigger than our plans. But always, he is God. Always, he is God. You remember in James where he said that he counted all joy and fall into diverse temptations? Because it builds character. That's true. But it isn't easy. He never said it was easy. Never said it seemed like it was fair while you went through it. Never says that. It's hard. It can be hard. And maybe if it wasn't hard, it wouldn't be temptation. In Psalms, the 22nd chapter, verse 4, David says, our father, he's saying this to God, our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, they trusted in thee and were not confounded, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise the people. All that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him, let him deliver him, seeing he delighted him. Prophecy of what was said at Jesus' crucifixion. You ever feel like that? Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Zacharias and Elizabeth just kept working and doing good and praying and hoping, and then they went to bed. And the next day they got up and they worked and they prayed and they worked and they hoped and they went to bed. Day in, day out, day in, day out, no child. No child. And then all of a sudden, Zacharias is in doing his priestly duties by himself. And they're by himself in doing his priestly duties, getting the incense going, keeping it going, those kinds of things. And an angel appeared just to him. There's a multitude of people standing outside the temple, but the angel appeared just to him. Just to him. And all those years of waiting and waiting and waiting maybe will be answered finally on God's timetable. Don't you wish, we always kind of kiddingly say, we wish people would come in with dummy lights on across their forehead like you have in your car. Got a low tire on my car, it comes up with a dummy light. It says you got a low tire. It's not always right. But you got a low tire, or your car's not running right. Wouldn't it be nice if people had that? A little dummy light. Your heart's not working right today. It's his liver, stupid. You know, those kinds of things. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we knew what God's timetable was? What he had in mind for us? But he doesn't tell us specifically. And when I think about God's timetable, I always think about Jesus and his first miracle when he went to the wedding feast. And they said Mary was concerned because the people were going to be embarrassed. This was embarrassing. They ran out of wine. They got this week-long feast for this wedding, and they ran out of wine. She says, can't you do something? And what did he tell her? It's not time yet. It's not time yet. My hour's not yet come. So Gabriel's talking to Zacchaeus, and he said, Zacchaeus, you're going to have a boy. You're going to have a boy. You're going to have a son. Zacchaeus Jr. Zacchaeus Jr. I'm going to have a son. His name's going to be Zacchaeus, like me. And his name will be called John. Yahweh, or God, has been gracious, John. I wonder how much Zacchaeus had dreamed of having a son and named him after himself, or after his father, or after his grandfather. Nope. The center of John the Baptist's life is going to be God, not you, Zacchaeus. God has been gracious. God has been gracious. And as much as we are and want to continue to be the center of our children's universe, God demands to be and needs to be the center of their universe. Children are alone to us for a little bit, but they're God's. And Zacchaeus needed to know that as well. And this child is going to bring you great joy and gladness. Great joy and gladness. Well, that's nice. That's nice to know about a child. There have been lots of children in the world that, as you look on them as baby, you wonder what they're going to be like. You wonder if they're going to bring you joy or gladness. You wonder what they're going to do when they're older. You wonder if you're going to be proud or embarrassed by them. You wonder about those things. Zacchaeus didn't have to wonder. This child will bring you great joy and gladness that will be shared with all. And he's not going to be just a son. He's going to be a great son. A great son. Because God said so. What's it mean when we think all of our children are great? Yeah, child's born, anybody with any half a brain is pleased and overjoyed. And we all think our children are great most of the time. But what's it mean to you when God says to you, your child is not going to be just another boy. He's not going to be just like every other son. He's going to be a great son. Not in your eyes, but in mine. When God tells you someone's going to be great, they are special. And he tells John the Baptist, tells Zacharias what the character of John the Baptist is going to be like. This is going to be a very well-controlled, self-contained kind of man. He's a Nazarite. Self-controlled. Filled with the Holy Ghost from birth. Now, I'm not even sure it says that about Jesus. Are you? Filled with the Holy Ghost from birth. I've been pondering that. I don't even think it says that about Jesus. He's going to be a leader. And he's going to lead people to God. He's going to be such a great leader that people wonder if he's Elijah. One of the greatest leaders the Jews ever had. And he's going to be preparing for, guess what? The Messiah. The one individual that all of you have been waiting on for centuries. For centuries. You know, sometimes God's promises are so huge, they're so good, that we have some trouble believing them. We have trouble believing that could really be true. Here's Zacharias, he's standing talking to an angel. Gabriel himself, standing talking one-to-one. He says, you're going to have a son. And what does Zacharias do that's so human like all of us? He says, how can that be? I'm old. And my wife's old. Old folks like us don't have babies. That doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Besides, haven't you been paying attention? We've been trying for years. We have had no children. We've been doing everything right. No kids. Are you paying attention here? We can't have kids. I'm too old. How many times do we doubt a blessing when it comes? Things we want, we get, and then we wonder if we're really... got them, if they're really good, how to use them. Angel said, you doubted God, you doubted what I told you, you won't speak till this is over. Not one word. Not yes, not no, not please, not thank you, not maybe, no words. Try being quiet for a while. You're pretty used to talking. I don't know how much you're aware that you're used to talking, but you're used to talking. I take care of people who can't talk. One of the most frustrating things that people can ever experience is to have a stroke, to know what they want to say, send the message to their brain, to the parts of their brains that's supposed to make those words come out. They know what they want to say. The thought's perfectly concise and specific in their brain. But it doesn't come out. Okay? This man couldn't talk. Not for a day. Not for a week. Not for a month. This may have been the first example of sign language. I don't know. He did use some sign language. We know that. And think of the timing. All the things he wanted to say. He'd been waiting for years and years and years to have a child. His wife is finally going to become pregnant, and he can't say anything to anybody about it. He can't share it with her. Can't share it with anybody else. Can't share it with anybody. 9 months of being quiet. When he wanted to shout. Couldn't talk to other people about it. Couldn't talk to his wife about it. Couldn't speak to God about it. He was dumb. But what he did was he just kept serving. Doing what he'd done before, day in and day out. Until it came time when his term of service as a priest was over and he went home. And lo and behold, old or not, Elizabeth became pregnant. And she hid it for 5 months. That's a kind of odd thing, isn't it? She hid it for 5 months. She hid it until it was evident that she was pregnant. That's 5 months. She hid it till it was evident that she was pregnant. And at the same time, she goes through this 5 months at her 6 months date. Mary conceives. Now she's off over there. There's no telephone, no telegraph. Mary conceives. And you have to ask, who knew who was pregnant here? We know that Mary knew that Elizabeth was pregnant, but you have no idea that Elizabeth knew that Mary was pregnant. And why would she think she was? She wasn't married. So Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. And Mary comes to visit. And when Mary walks through the door, what's going through Elizabeth's head? What if she didn't know about Mary? We have no reason to think that she did. The scripture doesn't say anything to indicate that Elizabeth knew ahead of time that Mary was pregnant. She's a single mother. They certainly didn't advertise it. She walks through the door. Her cousin, who is unmarried and pregnant. And what happens? I can't tell you. All you women that have been pregnant might be able to tell me. But the baby leaped in her uterus, in her womb. I've taken care of some excited babies and wombs before. I thought they were running marathons. They needed to be slowed down a little bit. Some of you moms have been kicked to death by babies that thought they were in taekwondo before they were born. But this baby leaped in the mother's womb. As soon as Elizabeth met Mary, Elizabeth and Mary stayed together for 3 months. And this isn't about Mary and Jesus, this is about Zacchaeus and Elizabeth and John. So about 3 months go by, and Mary goes home. Thanks goodness. Nobody wants neighbors around when you're having a baby. You got enough new things to get used to when there's a new baby in the house. Mary goes home, and Elizabeth delivers at full term. And all the neighbors and the family all get together, and on the eighth day, they all get together for the circumcision as it's supposed to be, and no one said anything. They just kind of assume that after Zacchaeus and Elizabeth have been trying for so long and haven't had a child, they have no descendant at all to carry on their name, that surely this child will be called Zacchaeus. Zacharias, not Zacchaeus. Zacharias. Be called Zacharias. Zacharias Jr., right? That's what you call him. Carry on the lineage. No. Zacharias got a tablet. The mother named them a lot of times, oddly enough, kind of different than our culture. The mother named him. She said his name will be John. And they looked at Zacharias and said, "What? You don't even have any Johns in your family. There's not a single John as far back as anybody can remember on either side of your family. What's this John business?" And Zacharias got a tablet and he wrote, "No, his name will be called John." John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And I think it's interesting what happened because as John the Baptist was born. Joy and fear. Joy and fear came in all they that dwelt round about because of all this that had happened. Zacharias had been unable to speak for 9 months. Then he speaks. This barren couple have a child. What's going to happen? What's going to be? And after 9 months, Zacharias speaks. And he prophesies of Jesus. He prophesies, "God has visited us. He has not forgotten us. God hasn't gone away." Like I might have been tempted to think when we were trying all those years and nothing happened. No, God has visited us. He has not forgotten us. God has redeemed His people. He's saved them. He hasn't just visited. Just like predicted. Jesus will save us from those that oppose us. He will provide mercy to us. He'll remind us that God keeps His promises. And that we can now serve Him without fear forever. That's what He says of the Messiah. But He also prophesies of His own Son. And I have to wonder, I have to believe, that someone, somewhere along the line, told John the Baptist about these words. About what his father had said by the Holy Spirit about him when he was born. He will be a prophet of the highest. He will prepare the way of the highest. He will prepare so that sins can be forgiven. He will give light to those in despair because the Messiah is coming. And He'll guide our way to peace, the peace that Jesus is going to bring. What a thing to be able to say about your son. What a thing as a son to have said about you by God's direction. And if you think about John the Baptist as we go on through the story, his diligence, his humility in facing Jesus, his steadfastness as he prepared to meet his death, I wonder if he knew about that. I wonder if he knew how special he was. Devin's always saying he's not in here talking about. Devin's always saying he's a special one. Because we weren't supposed to be able to have him. He was impossible. Still impossible. I still don't know how that happened. It's impossible for him medically. He's always saying that he's a special. Wonder how special John the Baptist felt. How special he felt for those years. To be born in these circumstances and to have the opportunity to prepare the way for the Messiah that all people had waited on for centuries to come and do His job of giving us forgiveness of our sins. What greater role can he have than John the Baptist? In fact, Jesus himself says there's no one greater than him. No one greater than him has lived. Zacharias and Elizabeth, I don't know how much they saw what their son did. I doubt that they were alive when John the Baptist began preaching. I doubt that they were alive when John the Baptist confronted the rulers about their misbehavior, sin. I doubt that they were alive when John the Baptist lost his head, standing up for what God wanted. But they knew. They knew as surely as that angel had stood there in the temple that God hadn't forgot them and that God was giving them a son, a very special, special son. Elizabeth played a very important role. There is absolutely no doubt that there's a reason that Mary spent the first 3 months of her pregnancy with Elizabeth. Why do you think that happened? Why did that happen? Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant, Mary is just conceived, comes to be with her. Why did that happen? Why did Mary go stay with Elizabeth for 3 months? Well, just to get her out of the area because she's pregnant. Pregnant, unwed. Do you think that's all the reason? There was hope and wisdom and experience here available through Elizabeth and Zacharias that she couldn't get anywhere else. And if you wonder why Mary was able to go through what she went through, it was because of Mary's character. It's because of God's help. But it's because Mary took advantage of the help around her and Elizabeth as well. The guidance and friendship and love that she gave her in support. That's the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And I hope you've learned something from it this morning. We're going to offer the invitation this morning to anyone who might be in need as we stand and sing the closing song.